So on this journey of restoration, we have the Holy Spirit of truth in us and with us as our guide. Seek the truth from the truth and allow the truth to direct you. We have Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life in us and with us to disciple us on this way of truth. Don't be afraid of the path, the journey, even though it may take you in places that you have not imagined. It may challenge some things that you believed in a quite difficult way at times. But remember, this is about love. This is about transformation. We have our loving Father in us and with us to father us into sonship. Agape love, the love that which is God, should be what we use to measure and test everything against. Don't use your doctrinal, theological streams, perspectives. Allow love to be the plumb line. Allow the love which is God to give you that insight, that revelation, so that the real truth can be restored and we can fully function in our sonship. We've been looking at four streams of thought that are converging into one mighty river of restoration: mystic sonship, realized eschatology, universal reconciliation, energy frequency healing. And we're covering energy frequency healing in these sessions. The future of medicine will be the medicine of frequencies, Albert Einstein. Restoration includes personal wholeness as well as the restoration of all things. That includes us. And if we're not whole, creation is not going to respond to our sonship. Energy frequency healing is being restored in this transition period to help us become whole. And then we can begin to function with the full capacity of our sonship, being able to use our expanded consciousness to choose to create and choose realities which are aligned to God's original condition, God's original purpose and heart. So energy and frequency are related to many different healing methods. So our birthright is immortality. As mankind was created immortal, that was God's intention, and I believe he's going to restore us back to that. Sin ushered in mortality, choosing to walk on our own path, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. That tree, that do-it-yourself version, has brought in mortality. And man has been seeking immortality ever since, through various things. And you have the stories of different things of immortality and various other things, the people, the fountain of youth and things like that. And you have, you know, various stories and books that have been written about it. Jesus came to restore life, life in its fullness, life in its abundance, life in its full immortal state. Therefore, in his death, we have immortality restored. When we die with him, which we have, we are raised with him back to immortality. But do we believe it? And are we believing a lie that's told us that we have to die physically to enter into immortality? That religious lie keeps us in bondage from living in the fullness, both of quality and quantity, of eternal life today. 2 Timothy 1, 9 to 10. According to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Now, he has called every one of his creative beings to have a relationship with him. According to his purpose, he has a purpose for all of us, and his grace, his divine enabling power, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This is not something that's just appeared today. This has always been so, and we had it manifested when Jesus came into this physical realm, but it's always been the case that we have had given to us the grace, the divine enabling power to live the life that God is calling us to have. But this has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. Now get that. He has abolished death. Now, I'm not just talking about physical death here, because he overcame physical death, spiritual death, every sort of death. So it's every type of death has been abolished and brought life, abundant, full, overflowing life, and immortality to light through the gospel. So the truth, the revelation of immortality, of full, abundant life, the life that we were always called and his purpose that we would have, are now being unveiled in this good news message, in this good news message of what Jesus did before and when he came. So what is energy? How does it affect us? How can we use energy healing methods to restore ourselves to wholeness? God, by his grace, is revealing these truths to his children so we can use these many different ways effectively today, both in our own lives, but also towards creation itself. Words are energy. They have been experiments done where plants in schools were either praised or bullied by the children. The bullied ones were stunted in growth and in some cases died. The ones praised thrived and grew well. Now there's power in words. The energy, the frequency, the negative or positive energy contained within certain words and the intent in which they're spoken has effect on even living organisms. Supposedly inanimate, but they're not. They can pick up this energy. They're connected to the energy field, the quantum field that's within creation. A Japanese scientist, Masaru Emoto, in his book, The Hidden Messages in Water, highlights the following. Water droplets would form widely different crystal patterns depending on what they were exposed to before they were frozen. The words "I love you" would result in beautiful ice crystals, while the words "I hate you" would result in distorted crystals. And there's a whole set of pictures there which are different songs that were played and different music that was played that affected the crystalline structure when they were frozen. Words have effect on water. Consider that our bodies are 70% water. Now consider how important it is to keep our words about ourselves positive instead of negative. Do not speak negatively. Do not agree with negative things about yourself. Do not use the words that others may have said. Be positive. Look at what God says. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Use it wisely. It is equally important to keep our thoughts about ourselves positive as well, because our thoughts will tend to determine what we're going to say. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Our words, we speak from the overflow of that's within our heart. What's in our heart? What are our words motivated from? We are created in God's image and have authority over our lives and bodies. This was God's intention. This is how he made us to be speaking spirits, as he is a speaking spirit. The words I speak will not return to me empty, says in Isaiah, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Be very careful what words you release from your mouth over your life, health, wealth, and all the things. I'm not talking about just being positive. I mean getting a reality of the truth and speaking with authority from a position of truth. We can sometimes use words which are like daggers to people's hearts as we direct them towards them, but we can also direct them towards ourselves. What words do you speak over yourself that are creative energy that impact your health and well-being? Are you speaking positive, healing, health intentions? Scientists prove DNA can be reprogrammed by our own words. Russian scientists prove DNA can be reprogrammed by just our words and other outside frequencies. This are sequences that almost look like they're made up of words. They can be reprogrammed. Research has shown that our DNA actually changes shape according to our words. There's evidence for a whole new type of medicine in which DNA can be influenced and reprogrammed by words and frequencies alone. Learn to focus your words with an intention that flows from your cardiogenosis relationship with God as Father. Let him show you the truth, and so you can speak the truth out of that knowledge of the heart. This is not just intellectual knowledge that you're trying to speak. You need to know it by experience, so you speak with authority. Words are containers. They can carry intention but need directing. Words connect with grace, the grace energy field, vibrating strings of energy within the fabric of all things. Our words can connect. Our words have authority when we connect up with that grace, that vibrating string of energy which create all things, including what we can speak. Also, thoughts are energy, vibrations filled with intent, positive or negative. Now, sometimes people's thoughts get them into trouble because their thoughts are what they really believe and they're operating from the thoughts. But they can be very challenging thoughts sometimes because we can get angry, frustrated, and use those thoughts. Thought energy has no physical or spiritual boundaries. Therefore, our thoughts are not confined to a certain location. We would like to think our private thoughts are in fact private. Newsflash, they're not. So our thoughts give off a radiating, emanating frequency that can be picked up in the atmosphere around us by people and by spiritual beings and dynamics. Each of us is like a radio station constantly broadcasting the energy of our thoughts, which emanate from us, touching those around us for good or for ill. Luke 5:22, Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts?" So Jesus was able to pick up their thoughts. How? Because he was able to tune into them, because they were emanating, radiating from them. Your thoughts are immensely powerful. Use them for good. We all have experienced the feeling probably of walking into a room and feeling uncomfortable, maybe feeling you can cut the atmosphere of the knife. And sometimes you walk into a hostile environment and the negative thoughts of someone in the room you pick up. Reputable laboratory experiments have repeatedly shown that thoughts can directly influence the rate of growth in plants, fungi, bacteria, and other things. So use thoughts wisely. Take captive the thoughts. Studies have proven that when the energy thought is directed intentionally, it can impact someone else, regardless of whether they're nearby or all the way around the world. So when Jesus thought healing thoughts towards someone who was not there, the centurion's servant was healed because his thoughts were able to go into a realm, quantum tunnel, and come out instantly somewhere else. Effectively not being controlled by physical location, because we're connected to a different realm that's connected to a whole energy field. Our thoughts can engage the spiritual and angelic realm, and they can also pick up our thoughts. Imagine how your own thoughts can affect you. Everyone has some kind of internal conversation with themselves daily. It's just the way we function. We think, and we have that conversation in our mind. We can have a conversation with God in our mind. We can have a conversation with ourselves in our mind. And actually, we can have a conversation with other things within our mind. What do you say to yourself? When you are thinking, what do you say? Is what you're saying to yourself life-giving and positive, or critical and negative? Are you down on yourself? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's focus our thinking on good, positive things which are from above, engaged in God. Harvard Medical School's Mind-Body Institute research show 75 to 98% of mental, physical, and behavioral illness comes from one's thought life. Do we entertain any negative thoughts about a person, the future, worry, fear, an event, a memory? What are we directing towards those things? Because they will have an effect. Any conversation we may have in our thinking will have a negative or positive effect on us or others. If we engage in toxic thinking, it will actually change our brain wiring in a negative direction, affecting our emotions and physical well-being. So be very careful of toxic thinking. The result of this negative toxic thinking towards a specific will be maybe throw our bodies into stress. It can affect our whole physical being, the way we're thinking. Change a relationship that we have with someone because we're thinking negatively. Change the outcome of an event because we're thinking negatively towards it. Attract or entrain that fear or worry towards us in a negative way. What we fear can come upon us. What we're worrying, we can actually manifest, because worry is negative meditation. We're visualizing it, we're rehearsing it, and we're literally calling it into being. What is the number one source of illness and disease? Over the last 10 years, this has become universally accepted. Even the United States federal government has come out publicly agreeing. Almost all health issues originate in one problem, stress. When we talk about stress, we're not talking about the circumstantial issues that we usually think about as stress. We're not talking about the things that happen around us every day that stress us out. This is not the sort of stress. We're talking about psychological stress. It is physiological, psychological stress that results in illness and disease. Physiological stress, simply put, is when our nervous system is out of balance, when we're not balanced and holding things together in correct balance. So we can deal with the things around us from a place of peace, not from a place of stress about them. So where there is negative energy, where there once was positive energy. So when that takes place, it begins to put our body under psychological and physiological stress. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We can create who we are with our thoughts. We have the capacity to choose who we will be. So let's choose a life aligned with our destiny. Don't choose a life aligned with your past, because it may well be negative. You do not have to repeat the mistakes or the negativity of the past. You can have a better future. Start seeing, visualizing, and thinking according to that better future, and you will begin to draw that future to yourself, and you will be entrained towards that future that carries a higher frequency aligned with the heart of God and his destiny for you. Our choice is the most powerful thing we possess. We choose what we think about. We choose life and death. We choose success or failure. We choose joy or sadness. We choose fulfillment or frustration. We choose to worry and focus on fear. We choose. You can take captive your thought and choose to think about something else. And we need to develop these mindsets and abilities to be able to focus our thinking positively. Choose to think on these things, whatever is good. Our brain can either be a record of the past or a blueprint for the future. If our brain is a record of the past, we will be stuck in a cycle of repeated patterns of behavior or illness. From the moment we start our day, we will already be thinking in the past. Each one of the memories in our brain will have an emotion attached to it, because emotions are the end product of past experiences. According to neuroscientist Joe Dispenza, neuroscience is discovering that 95% of who we are by the time we're 35 is a memorized set of behaviors, emotional reactions, unconscious habits, hardwired attitudes, beliefs, and perceptions. We need to be reprogrammed by a higher truth, by a higher frequency. That is love. We function like a computer program. We have subconscious memory, like computers have hard drives that store the programs. We have unconscious memory, like read-only memory, that is instinctive gut programming. We have conscious memory, random access memory, that loads and runs the programs that are stored within our heart. We put them into our conscious thinking and we act on them. Neuroscience reveals that, as we have previously established, that the body does not know the difference between the experience and the memory of the experience. So when we're in the cycle of our thoughts and emotions being played over and over again, it renders our entire state of being as living in the past. Change is uncomfortable. Everyone finds change difficult. So even being stuck in the past can be a comfortable place. It's the known place. Being in the unknown is a scary place, and we need to develop something which is not presently known, so we can entrain towards that unknown, but we can create a positive unknown rather than a negative one. Often it feels safer to be in, say, fear, because at least you know how to handle fear, and that makes you feel safe. Using fear as an example, think about the emotional rush that comes with fear. Now, I don't know whether you've engaged fear a lot, or maybe some people are adrenaline junkies. They like the emotional rush that comes with a particular fear. And that can be physical fear that you put your body in on a roller coaster, skydive, whatever. People are hooked on fear because it produces a rush. And we are created to feel. Feeling something negative will never be our first choice. But if the absence of a positive is there, we will settle for a negative. Remember, the naughty child will tolerate negative attention rather than no attention. Let's be careful we're drawing on positive energy and frequency that comes from God. Look towards him. We will become that which we observe. So what are we observing and what are we becoming like? We're all probably still carry a measure of brokenness. It's unlikely that every one of our emotional needs are being met fully. That's why we need to get them met in God. We cannot find our emotional needs fully met outside of God. You can try and draw that from other people and you will suck them dry emotionally. God is the only one who has the capacity to meet all our needs, emotionally, physically, spiritually, which means we will be feeding on negative emotions that are connected to our past. So what energy are you addicted to? What are you being drawn back to? Do you want to stay in the addiction of the past? And I'm not just talking about drugs or alcohol. You can be addicted to your past emotional experiences. Or move into the freedom of the future, which is possible with a relationship with God that's drawing you to your destiny. We can choose freedom and focus our intent, which has power. Your intention is another form of energy. The power of intention, when exercised in a prayerful, meditative, mindfulness manner, raises your energy frequency by 15 megahertz, which is a positive increase and can have a powerful effect on how we feel on a daily basis. It's a directed form of thought energy, intention, directed thought energy. The intention of our heart, when coupled with our choice, is exceptionally powerful. It brings agreement. Because energy is intelligent, when activated by our choice, it will begin to obey and cooperate with our intention. And that's how quantum physics says everything is created by the observation of the observer, by the choices or the intention of the observer. Photons that make up all the particles of light energy begin to form and come together when we focus our agreement, our choice, by intention. Make a decision today that you want to move out of the addiction of the past into the freedom of the future. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you what emotions you're addicted to and how to break free. Ask Him. This is the basis of lie busting. This is the basis of doing court cases. We're looking to hear and know the truth outside of ourself. We may have hidden self, things that we cannot see for ourselves until the revelation is given. Ask the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, to reveal if you have emotions you're addicted to, and they can be negative emotions. You may be addicted to feeling rejected, but it's you're comfortable with it and you live in it because you don't see any other way. We need to know how to break free by directing positive energy of the truth to change the lies, to break the patterns, to bring us into freedom. Align your intentions and you can and enable them to begin the change that's necessary. If you align your intentions with God's purpose and God's heart, then you can begin to change things. Transformation can begin to take place. The best way to predict your futures is to create it. Choose to call into being that which aligns with the heart of God and visualize it, rehearse it, meditate on it, because then creation will begin to respond to you. How do you do it? Engage God in intimacy first. It must be His heart that we're engaging. By rewiring our brain and choosing realities that align with our destiny, as revealed heart to heart with God, with intention. Use that intention that you have revealed from the relationship with God to create new neural pathways that will begin to engage you in the choosing that reality. Every time we settle our body down, pull it back from the past and focus it in the present through meditative intention, we've got to bring ourselves into a place of rest so we can embrace a new future. We're telling our body that it's no longer in control by focusing thoughts and desires with intent. So literally, our soul, our in choice, begins to rule through the spirit over a body, so the body comes into agreement and alignment and we become whole. We do not want to be fragmented, body, soul and spirit. We need to be united in unison within ourselves. When this happens, we begin the process of freeing ourselves from living in the past and begin the process of investing our energy into the future. If you are draining your energy away on thinking about the past or worrying about the future rather than creating the future, you're going to run out of energy. Where you place your attention is where you'll focus your energy. What are you looking at? What are you thinking about? What are you engaging? When we allow ourselves to constantly replay and visit past experiences and emotions, it will draw us back to the past. We're siphoning our energy from the present into the past and repeating the cycles. When all our energy is being allocated to the past, there's none for the present, let alone the future. Firstly, the first question is, are you investing your energy into your past or your future? Just think about that for a second. Where do you spend most of your time thinking about? Regrets of the past, experiences of the past, emotions from the past, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness from the past? Or are you looking to create a different, better future? So where do you want to invest your energy? Decide what you want to change. Think about something in your life right now. Something that may have been difficult in the past. And start to envisage a better future. Decide you are going to change where you invest your energy and what you're thinking about. We can change it by mentally rehearsing it, by meditating, seeing, and choosing a different reality. So you may have an image from the past. Start to create a new image of the future. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So what God says is true is the truth. What you believe is true may be totally lies because you're believing things tied to your past rather than believing what God's heart is and what God's desire is for your future. God is a good God and he wants the best for you. He wants to bring good out of everything that may have been negative. This needs to be our focus as we control our thoughts rather than our thoughts controlling us. Choose to be mindful, living in the moment of rest of the presence of God with you at every moment. He lives in an imminent fashion with every moment of our existence. Yes, he's transcendent, and yes, he's over and knows all things from the end and the beginning. It's all now to him. But he chooses to live in the moment with us and relate to us in that moment so we can be conscious of his presence in every moment of our existence. If the body does not know the difference between the experience and the memory of the experience, is what we've seen, then it does not know the difference between what is real and what is our chosen created reality. So we can change what may be a fact and align it to a new chosen truth reality aligned to the heart of God. Now, anger, emotions are also energy, and we can generate a lot of emotional energy, and it's sometimes really difficult to be around those who are generating a lot of negative emotional energy. The emotions that we feel are made up of energy. This energy may be positive or negative and will have the corresponding effect on our bodies. This is evidenced when you see someone who's agitated. And it affects a room full of people and the room becomes agitated because of the energy that person is giving off. And people become uncomfortable in that environment. Just like the impact of tuning forks, when vibrations are released into a room, others begin to pick up the vibration and start to vibrate at that frequency. That's what happens when you entrain to an energy field. I want you to think about something that's happened to you recently that has caused a negative emotion within you. Just begin to think. Just ask God to show you something that may have caused you to feel negative emotion. Now just begin to focus on that negative emotion and just feel how that's having an impact on your body, on how you're actually feeling. As you begin to feel uncomfortable, you may begin to feel emotions rise up. Now recognize the emotion that's coming, the feeling that you have, the tension in your body when you engage with that sort of energy, that emotion. Now if you can recognize this, and you can then begin to avoid it, and you can begin to shift your thinking on the positive. So now I want you to think about something that makes you happy or peaceful or something that's happened to you recently that really impacted you positively. As you engage with that thought, again, recognize the energy that's released in your body. that you begin to feel engaged with these positive emotions. Gratitude, thanksgiving, all of these things are very positive and they can even affect our whole being. Now see the benefit of the one and the destruction of the other and choose to focus your thinking and your feelings positively. Start to choose life. Recognize how one emotion is destructive whilst the other is beneficial and uplifting. Align your intention with your choice to move away from destructive and towards constructive and productive thinking. And I think this is really, really important that we actively do this. It's not just going to happen if we don't intentionally choose to live mindfully. Allow the Holy Spirit to shift and change your mindset to a positive effect by asking Him and following that pattern. Unforgiveness is emotional bondage that consumes with memories of offense, distorts emotions with revenge, and fills hearts with churning unrest. Unforgiveness is a very, very powerful energy. Be very careful that you do not live in the torture chamber of unforgiveness as Jesus described it. If we do not choose to forgive from our heart, now unforgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. You can choose to forgive whether you want to. Whether you feel the person deserves to is not the issue. Jesus chose to forgive while he was on the cross. Father, forgive them. While he was going through intense emotional, physical experience, he chose to forgive. God has chosen to forgive you. We need to choose to forgive and live in forgiveness, not unforgiveness. It's such a negative, even physically. Anger, resentment, bitterness, guilt, all these are negative energies. The energy of unforgiveness, anger is the consequence of not forgiving. Very often our first response to pain is anger. We use anger to hide the pain and to be the avenue through which we release the pain and the emotion. Now that's how our coping mechanisms are developed. But we've got to find that will lead us onto a bigger, bigger spiral or a bigger, bigger circle until we feel really bad. We choose anger because it's a natural response of protection. Subconsciously, we see aggression as the way to protect ourselves. Anger is the very tool that becomes our prison. There is all sorts of energy and emotion associated with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is such a damning occurrence in our culture that we've been ministering forgive and release for 25 years. Forgive is a choice. Release is a choice. You cannot truly forgive unless you release the debt owing you. Otherwise, you'll keep going back to the fact that someone owes you a debt, what they did affected you. So don't just say the words, I forgive. Also choose to release them from what they've done, how it's affected you, and how that's affected others, and choose to release them so they have no debt. Then you have no right to go back to what anyone has done negatively because you've released them from the debt. This is teaching that we developed 25 years ago. We've been ministering through this forgiveness and release for years. You know, if someone owes you something, you can genuinely look at that person in a negative way. If you have released them from the debt that they did owe you, then you cannot look at them any longer in the negative way. There's no need to, because they owe you nothing. Make sure you choose to forgive and release. Do not go to sleep living in unforgiveness. You're sleeping with the enemy and you're bringing disease to your body by living in that unforgiveness. The parable of the unforgiving steward. Remember, the master forgave the steward a huge amount and that steward would not forgive one day's wages of another person and they ended up living in the torture of unforgiveness, being tortured, and it is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. Only you are affected by it and are tied to that event that you've not forgiven. Forgive and release from the heart. Or be in the torture chamber and suffer the negative consequences. And that can be physical, emotional thinking that was so negative. Forgiveness is such a powerful tool that God has given us. Because God, being love, has chosen to forgive. He holds nothing against anyone. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ on the cross, in the resurrection, going into the grave in the fullness of it, reconciling the whole of the cosmos to himself, not counting any of their trespasses or sins against them. God holds nothing against anyone. If he's asking us to forgive everyone and he doesn't forgive anyone himself, then that's hypocritical and he's not a hypocrite. Marketplace Ministries has Forgiveness Therapy, a download that was given to Lindy, which they use for everyone, including non-believers or not yet believers, let's say. And it can be delivered by believers in a way that connects to people in the reality of their everyday lives. If you want more information, you can go to the Forgiveness Therapy website, www.forgivenesstherapy.org. If you want to become a Forgiveness Therapy Center, you can contact them. They will do training and they will help you to establish. Most of our communities are filled with people who are living in unforgiveness, and it's having such a negative effect on their health and wholeness and well-being. Marketplace are also developing a group therapy called Surviving to Thriving. It's based on all the teachings about energy healing and how to reprogram your DNA. And I would encourage you, if you want more information about these things, they're a great group to go through. Carrie Browning also has great stuff on releasing toxic emotions. I believe there will be many new therapies being developed around identity and destiny that will bring people into wholeness and positively focus on them being the answer as sons to creation, being revealed in sonship. The heart has energy. The heart pushes out energy. Science is discovering that your heart generates 100 to 1,000 times more power in electromagnetic energy than your brain, making it the most powerful organ in your body. Your heart is the core of who you really are. So important that we know what is in our heart and we think in our heart according to what God thinks about us. People who have had heart transplants report emotional responses that they did not have before because there's memory in the heart. Neuroscientists are making many exciting discoveries. They've found that the heart has its own independent nervous system. It has neurological cells, a complex system referred to as the brain in the heart, as is the gut also. The gut also has neurological things, that gut instinct. The heart-brain relationship. The heart has its own complex nervous system, the heart-brain. The heart sends far more information to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. The heart signals especially affect brain centers involved in strategic thinking, reaction times, and self-regulation. You can get this from the Institute of Heart Math. Did you know? Heart-brain factoids. The heart has a system of neurons that have both short and long-term memory, and the signals they send to the brain can affect our emotional experiences. The heart sends more information to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. Coherent heart rhythms help the brain in creativity, innovative problem solving. Your heart emits electromagnetic energy field that changes according to your emotions. Others can pick up the quality of your emotions through the electromagnetic energy radiating from your heart. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Shouldn't be surprised that the heart has its own unique intelligence or that it can think, feel, and remember. Life flows from the heart, so we need a spiritually healthy heart as well as a physically healthy one. The heart starts beating in an unborn fetus before the brain is formed. Scientists still don't know what exactly makes it start beating. The heartbeat is generated from within it, the heart itself. It doesn't need connection to the brain to keep beating. Did you know negative emotions create nervous system chaos, but positive emotions do the opposite? Positive emotions can increase the brain's ability to make good decisions. You can boost your immune system by focusing on positive emotions. Positive emotions create physiological benefits in your body. In fetal development, the heart starts beating before the brain begins to develop. Human heart's magnetic field can be measured several feet away from your body. For more information, you can look at heartmath.com. HeartMath produces tools, techniques, and are based over 25 years of scientific research conducted at the HeartMath Institute on the psychophysical, physiological of stress, emotions, the interactions between the heart and the brain. In order to access any hidden emotions, it's necessary to activate your choice and reassure your subconscious that your heart is safe, to divulge the information, because we try and protect ourselves from these things. Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. This is absolutely vital if we're going to live in health and wholeness and fulfill our destiny within the restoration of all things. In times of crisis, the subconscious mind will sometimes create a wall of energy around your heart to protect it, dissociating traumatic events even, so you don't even have a memory of the events, but they're still there under the sense, and that dissociation fragments us. Words like heartache or heartbreak are so called because of what occurs in the heart under strong emotional strain. Medical research experiments have repeatedly shown that there are measurable positive effects on the body when we feel love and appreciation towards somebody, or them towards us. Focusing on joy, gratitude, thanksgiving changes brain chemistry and rewrites our neural pathways. The same beneficial effect occurs in your own body when you're on the receiving end of love and appreciation. Let God love you. You can activate that at any time by giving thanks to God, by giving thanks to the Father, to Jesus, showing him our appreciation, focusing on how good he is. He's a good God. He's good all the time. He's always, countenance is always fair towards you. It's always something to be thankful for. Focus on being thankful, being grateful, having a gratitude, an attitude of gratitude creates health and well-being. Trapped emotions have huge energy within us. They can be trapped within the cells of our body, trapped trauma, events where we've been traumatized by something that someone's done, something's been said. That can be a natural thing, like an accident or an unnatural thing that's happened to us, something that just happens, that trapped trauma is in the cells of our particular part of our body or in our emotions. Toxic emotions are the result of trapped trauma. Toxic thinking, toxic emotions. These can be trapped in the cells of the body or in the memory pathways. They're highly toxic to the physical body as well as emotional well-being. So trapped emotions, sometimes for reasons we can explain, our emotions do not process and leave the body. Often because they're overwhelming and we do not have the tools to be able to manage them. So we dissociate them or package them mentally and don't deal with them. Instead, they remain trapped in the physical body. Releasing trapped energies can make changes to how you feel and behave, in the choices you make and the results that you get. Dr. Bradley Nelson from the book The Emotion Code. If you're interested to know more about trapped emotions, how you deal with them, releasing your trapped emotions for health, this is a good book, The Emotion Code by Bradley Nelson. Now, using anger as an example of an emotion, a powerfully strong emotion, instead of moving past your anger, and the moment that your anger comes up, because anger is a natural response to situations, but that negative emotional energy remains within your body if you don't know how to process it or deal with it. That's why forgiveness is so important when we get angry. Causing physical and emotional stress, being literally carrying emotional baggage, carrying it around with us, weighing us down, tied to the anger event. We can be tied to the past. We can be tied to these experiences, and it can be so debilitating to our everyday life. It feels like we're weighed down under the weight of emotional stress. Trapped emotions consist of well-defined energies that actually have shape and form, although not visible. They form energy fields. Many ancient healing practices rely on the premise that disease is caused by an energy imbalance in the body. Trapped emotions and trauma create a distortion in the energy field of the body. They vibrate at a distorted frequency, which begins to interrupt the healthy flow of energy in the body. Therefore, we get ill or end up in disease. If this continues longer term, the organs which are trapped the emotion is sitting will begin to be disrupted and distorted by the frequency of the energy emotion. That emotion affects different organs in different ways, until the organ itself begins to vibrate at the frequency of the trapped emotion and the impact is disease of that organ. You will entrain your body to vibrate at that negative energy. It will lower the frequency of your whole body, particularly some organs, and actually it will bring disease. We want to get to a place where we can ask our body if there's any trapped emotion we need to deal with. We need to be in tune with ourselves, and therefore we need to be able to think and hear the responses that our body can give. Before we get there, we need to address the inbuilt protection mechanisms we have in place. It's been said that many times that we're humans only use 10% of our brain. Well, that's not totally true. What it means is that the conscious mind only needs 10% of our brain to function. Think about all the things that we do that seem to come automatically, like walking, talking, thinking, seeing, hearing, tasting, breathing, planning. All of these things are done without the conscious processing of the mind. Conscious, subconscious, or unconscious memory. So what's the other 90% of our brain up to? This is what we refer to as the subconscious or unconscious, and it's also looked upon as the hard drive of the brain, if you like. This constitutes the operating system of our bodies. Controls all the instructions to your digestive system, telling your cells how to create enzymes and proteins, tells your heart how to keep beating, how to function. It's also where information is stored. Everything you've ever done has been logged in your subconscious memory. Every face, every voice, every song, every taste, every touch, every experience has been logged. Every virus, bacteria, or fungus that's affected your body has been logged. Even injury, every thought, every feeling, the entire history of every cell has been archived. Brain surgery is often done while the patient is conscious. Dr. Wilder Penfield discovered that under certain circumstances, people who are undergoing brain surgery will have memories returned to them when a certain area of the brain is stimulated. The subconscious mind has a duty to protect the body, and as such will often choose to hide things and make them inaccessible. The subconscious or unconscious mind will resist allowing trauma kinds of memory from being healed because of the purpose of that memory in the subconscious is to protect the person from that same hurt happening again. But that becomes a prison that traps us and traps that energy within rather than releasing it. Now, people have discovered that there are common physical problems are caused by trapped emotions, and there's a whole list of them there that often are associated with trapped emotions. So if you look at that list and see, is there anything that you're suffering with? It may not be this, it could be a physical thing purely, but ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you so you get to a safe place for your body to be able to give it this information. In order to access information, it's necessary to align the intention of your heart and activity with your ability to choose. Activate your ability to choose. This reassures your subconscious that it's safe to divulge the information. You've got to come to a place of rest. That's why meditating, slowing down your breathing, start thinking about positive things, love, joy, and peace, will give you to a place where it's much easier for you to be able to release that information and to discern it. We need a strategy for immortality. It's not just going to happen. We need to put it into action. So what are some of the things that cause us to remain in a place of mortality? Why do we continue to have an agreement with death? Not realizing that we've already died with him and what the resurrection accomplished. Because the resurrection in some Christian thinking is to the future rather than it's already happened. So we're looking for a bodily resurrection rather than looking that resurrection happened when Jesus was resurrected and he resurrected all of us. We can be stuck there thinking we've got to die physically to enter into a different reality. Romans 6:8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We have died with him, therefore live with him in immortal life. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has any mastery over him. When we're already died with him and we've been resurrected with him, so death can have no mastery over us if you believe it. Live from the power of resurrection and the life that's there in communion energy take on the life that represents Jesus eating his flesh and drinking his blood, which is participating in his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension in the fullness of resurrection power. Take that energy to transform the physical cells right down to your DNA. So activate your choice today. Just choose to activate it. You can choose to focus and speak to your subconscious and say that it's safe to divulge the relevant information pertaining to any trapped emotions in your body. Just choose. Think right now and choose and speak in your thoughts to your body and tell your body it's free, it is safe. Ask your body, just by a choice, a thought in your mind, is there any trapped emotion? Just ask. Just think, is there any trapped emotion? Now, do you get a sense of yes or a sense of no? If it's no, move on. If it's yes, then go a bit deeper. Is it trapped due to my own DNA or inherited DNA or both? Ask some questions and just sense what the answers are. Where in the body is it trapped? You can speak to your heart, tell it that it's safe to access any hidden emotions that pertain to the issue above. Whatever that issue is, you need the information. Write down the primary emotion that comes to mind. Is it anger? Is it fear? Is it rejection? What are you feeling? What are you sensing? Look at what you've written. Who do you need to forgive and release as a result of these memories returning to you? Did someone abuse you? Did someone forget about you? Did someone lose you? Did someone beat you? Did someone say negative things towards you? Whatever the emotions are, choose to forgive and release them from the debt that's outstanding. This may have affected your whole life if it happened in childhood. Don't allow unforgiveness to rob you of a better future. What judgments do you need to renounce? Have you made judgments against them? Because when you make a bitter root judgment, it will defile your body. Renounce those bitter roots that defile our bodies and souls. Choose to renounce it. I choose to renounce this judgment against this person which I have held in unforgiveness. I choose to forgive and release them from what they've done and the effect it's had on me and those around me. And I want to bless them. If you cannot bless somebody, genuinely want their blessing, even if they abused you for years, even if they did terrible things to you, if you cannot truly want their blessing, then you've not really forgiven and released them. This can be a long-term process. It may not just happen in an instant. You may have to go through the reality. If we encourage people to make an invoice, what happened? How's it affected you? How has it ongoingly affected you negatively in your life? Make an invoice. Choose then to cancel the debts by forgiving and releasing that invoice. Rip it up, burn it, so that there's nothing left to make judgments against. Activate your choice. Instruct your subconscious that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, destructive cellular memories be found and opened. Give yourself the permission to bring these things into the light. Write down the memories that come to the surface. This is something you need to do over and over again through a process. Ask the Holy Spirit, ask Jesus the truth to show you. Don't go down a passage where you have to try and do this in your own strength and you are getting into a habit of doing this. Be inspired. Allow your spirit and the Holy Spirit to inspire you when to focus on this. Sometimes we just need to focus on the good things and live in the good things, but sometimes we need to deal with the negative things. There are seasons to do it. Activate your choice and instruct your subconscious that all known unknown physical issues related to revealed emotions be found, opened, and healed. What are the physical issues that you're suffering in your body that have emotional roots? Receive the energy of light, of life, of pure love, from true creative light, God himself. We need true life, true light to come. We need to engage the energy of a higher frequency of pure creative light, of pure love, to begin to bring us into a place of wholeness. We cannot generate the healing energy from within ourselves. We need to connect to a different dimension. That is why we've got connection to the quantum realm or the spiritual realm, to the heart of God, the eternal realm, because we can draw energy from that to actively bring us into wholeness, bring us into life. Remember when Jesus was healing people, he did it in different ways, but sometimes people drew from the energy field that was around him. Let's engage that energy field. Let's stand in the perichoresis, the circle of the life, the dance of God, in that conversation of Father, Son, and Spirit, where they purely pour their love, grace, and mercy upon us. Stand in it. Speak to all the negative frequencies vibrating in your body to cancel them out with positive, higher frequencies. Activate the neuroimmune system to resume its job of healing whatever is wrong in the body. Re-kickstart your body's ability to heal itself to live in immortality. Connect the energy of your intention to the energy of pure love, which will magnify its healing capacity when we're connected to the heart of God, God's thoughts. You can activate your intention to release the trapped emotion, wherever it is, whatever you've got revealed, from whatever part of your body that it's revealed to be in. In its place, receive the frequency of pure light, pure love, flowing directly from the Father's loving heart. Now, I want to encourage you just to spend a few moments, and in these few moments, just come to a place of rest, and I'm going to release some frequencies, release some energy, some light of the oracles of the Father's loving heart to come around you, to bring you to that safe place that you can then go forward from there. So just close your eyes. Again, just slow down your breathing. Slow down your thinking. Just start to think on those good things. Focus on positive energy, the very life of God. Let his heart begin to engage your heart. Just let the frequencies of love, his passion for you, his burning desire, his intense joy, his deep compassion, his overwhelming love, just let the love that's flowing from his heart reveal how passionately loving he is towards you, bring you to that safe place. Feel his burning desire for intimacy and relationship, face to face, heart to heart. Be overwhelmed by his burning desire. Feel his intense joy. Feel that amazing, intense joy that he feels when he looks at you. Feel that overwhelming love, that deep compassion. Thank you. Just be at rest. Focus on the name of God, Yod, He, Vav, He. Breathe in, breathe out deeply. Let the love, breathe in love. Let it be drawn into your physical being, drawn into your emotions, drawn into your life. Just relax. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am love. 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 Be still and know that I am joy. 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 Be still and know that I am peace. Be still and know that I am peace. Be still and know that I am peace. Rest in my love, joy, and peace. Rest in my grace, rest in my mercy, rest safe and secure, enveloped in my love. Feel my passion, feel my burning desire, feel my intense joy, feel my overwhelming love. Feel deep compassion. Feel at rest in me. Just feel the pure life and light of love penetrate your physical bodies, your emotions, your minds, your choice, and energize it and activate it.